said, Kenny, if you'll preach, I will do the song leading on Sunday morning. So now I'm here. So when you see Wes come back, Wes get back, he's got to do song leading on Sunday morning. So anyway, this week I was thinking about things that I was going to talk about, and I was thinking, man, why did I sign up for this? And so I sat there and I thought, and I was like, man, I really shouldn't be doing this. I can't even think of something to talk about. I have so much to do. I've got the holidays coming up. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. And then it hit me. And mom and dad, close your ears. I complain a lot. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. More importantly, I find myself often saying this. I'm sick and tired. And how often do we find ourselves saying this? I'm sick and tired. And so before we begin, I thought of a couple different ways that sometimes we use this. I'm sick and tired. And so I think often, you know, you'll say, I'm sick and tired, I'm fed up. And I heard this a lot growing up from my mom. She would say, I am sick and tired of your attitude. You know, it also can be, you know, you're extremely annoyed due to repeated experience. You know, sometimes you have somebody that leaves the lights on at home, or somebody leaves the TV on at home. I'm sick and tired. You're always leaving the TV on. It also can mean you're thoroughly fatigued and bored. You know, you go on a long drive. I am sick and tired of driving. And so we're going to talk about a couple of different things this morning. We're going to talk about when we should avoid being sick and tired, and sometimes when it is okay to be sick and tired. And so we'll talk about a couple of different examples of when we should avoid being sick and tired, and that's where we're going to start. And so there are three examples that I want to go look at. We'll talk about Cain and Abel. We'll talk about Moses. And then we'll talk about the nation of Israel in terms of when we should avoid being sick and tired. We'll look at a couple different examples. So we'll start here with Cain and Abel. If you would, turn over to Genesis 4, and we'll read that quickly. And keep in mind, these are times when we should avoid being sick and tired. And so in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 2, starting the second half there, it says, now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborns of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. You know, Cain became sick and tired of the favor that Abel was receiving from God. And so what did he do? He goes out and he kills his brother. Even after he was warned, you can see he was warned, it said, sin is crouching at your door. Even after he's warned, he goes out and he kills him. You know, I think that sometimes we have this jealousy. And this jealousy is often a component of being sick and tired. You know, how often do we have friends? I think we all have these friends, maybe some family members, and sometimes we call them one-uppers. You know, you tell them, oh, look what I did. I got this new car. And the next day they go out and they buy a new car. And we get really annoyed and we get sick and tired about this. And so what did the Bible tell us to do? If you go to Romans 12, verse 15, it makes it very clear how we should act with our brother. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice. You know, if Cain had rejoiced with Abel and said, hey, dude, God likes likes your sacrifice. God likes what you gave him. You know, he could have learned a thing or two. He didn't have to go out and kill his brother. We need to be happy and rejoice with those who have done or been given good things. And so that brings us over to the next example. We'll talk about Moses. And so as we know, Moses was leading the Israelites. And so Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 through 11, we'll read. Now there was no border for the community, and the people gathered in opposition. So this is when the Israelites are being led out of Egypt. So there's no water. So Moses and Aaron, they quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of the meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to that rock, and before their eyes it will pour out its water, and you will bring water out of the rock to the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. So they got water. That's good. But what happened? Moses became sick and tired of their complaining, and so he got angry. And so he yelled at the people. And not only did he yell at the people, but he disobeyed God, and instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And so, why did Moses do this? Why did Moses get so angry? Why did he get sick and tired? Well, I think it happens to us all the time. We get sick and tired when people fail us. And more importantly, we get sick and tired when people fail us over and over and over again. How many times does somebody say, oh, I'm going to take care of this, Bill, don't worry about it, and then it doesn't happen. And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really going to take care of it. And then they don't do it. And then they do it again, and they do it again. This is exactly what happened to Moses, and this is what happens to us. But it's important to remember and ask yourself, how many times do we fail God? You know, Moses was tired of the amount of times that he complained, but how many times do we sin against God? And I'd like to take a second to look at the parable of the unmerciful servant. If you go to Matthew 18, we'll read that quickly. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times, or some translations say, 70 times 7 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. But the servant fell on his knees before him and said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But then that servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off, and he had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. So this guy, he owes his master a ton of money. And to put it into perspective, a denarii is one day's pay back then. And so we owed him 100 denarii. And so that's, I mean, it's a sizable amount of money. It's a third of your year that this guy owed. Well, one talent is 6,000 denarii. And so if you take that, that's about 16 years' salary. And he owed his master 10,000 talents. And so if you do the math, this guy's servant, who didn't owe him very much, owed him probably somewhere around $15,000, $20,000. And he held him accountable for that. He said, throw him in prison. But he forgot that he had just been forgiven $3.2 billion in debt. He threw his friend, he threw his servant into prison over $15,000 when he had just been forgiven for over $3 billion. People don't even see that in a lifetime. And so let's compare that to us. How many times do people sin against us? Not very often. But how many times do we sin against God and still God has chosen to forgive us? Do we really have the right to be sick and tired of people sinning against us? And how should we handle that? If you look at it, Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You know, how many times do we have somebody comes to us, sins, goes away, comes back, sins, goes away, and we're so angry at them, and we're sick and tired of it, but we never say anything to them. How in the world are they supposed to change when we haven't told them that they've done anything wrong against us? And so it's very important in Ephesians that we let them know. Not only do we need to forgive those who sin against us, but we also need to resolve the problems quickly so that those problems don't repeat themselves. Otherwise, we will become sick and tired. And then let's move on to the Israelites, the nation of Israel. And if you would turn to Numbers 11. So let's read Numbers 11. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I'm going to start in verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Now, if you know the story, or if you don't, the Israelites are leaving Egypt, and they were enslaved in Egypt. They were treated very poorly. But now they're saying, "We want to go back to Egypt. We want that food." All along, God had been providing this manna, which they could gather off the ground and cook bread and all kinds of stuff with. But they're complaining. They're bored with this. So verse 18 says, "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wailed before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" And then in verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea and brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as the day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 omers, which is a lot, by the way. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people and struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because they were buried. There they buried people who have craved other food. People were sick and tired of having men. They were bored. And so what did they do? They complained and they said they remember this good food in Egypt. And they said, we're sick and tired. You know, do we ever get sick and tired of things that we have? I think sometimes we get sick and tired of coming to church on Sunday. I think we get sick and tired sometimes of going to church on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. We're sick and tired. Sometimes we get bored of it. Sometimes we're tired. You know, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Are we content with what we have? You know, the Israelites had all this manna, but they weren't content. They weren't happy with it. But we're told, be happy with what you have. Philippians 4:6. This was going to be the scripture reading. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In everything, we should be thankful. You know, I'm going to tell you a story. It brings me back many years. I was in first grade, so Kim was in kindergarten. She had just started kindergarten. I was in first grade. Beth was in fourth grade, and Eddie was in fifth grade. And so it was probably October around there. We were a month or so into school. And every day, Mom would make us our lunch. And it was great. I mean, somebody made lunch for us. And so every day, we had a nice ham and cheese sandwich. And it was awesome. But Kim and Eddie, they didn't like having ham and cheese every single day. And so they said to her, Mom, we are sick and tired of this ham and cheese sandwich. And so as she's making our lunch, she looks at us, puts down her stuff, and says, all right, no problem. You guys are on your own. And I've never had a lunch made for me until I graduated high school. We should be careful that we do not take blessings for granted, because we will lose them. So that being said, let's shift to when it's okay to be sick and tired. And for this part of the lesson, we're going to talk about a few different characters. We're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about Saul, who later became Paul. So the last two will be the same person. And so, in Matthew chapter 21, we have Jesus becoming sick and tired. And there were a couple instances in the Bible where Jesus became sick and tired. Matthew 21, verse 12 through 13. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of all the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And so Jesus was angry. He wasn't very happy. He came into the temple and he turned over these tables. He became sick and tired of people buying and selling in the temple. He was fed up with people turning his house of prayer into a marketplace. So fed up that he overturned these tables and he rebuked these people. And so what does that mean for us? We do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to stand up for what is right, but also we must do so righteously. In Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. I think we get the first verse right pretty frequently. I think a lot of times we get fed up with what somebody's doing, somebody's sinning, we get sick and tired of it, and we go tell them. Well, we go tell them. We don't do so in the nicest way possible. We don't do so the way that Ephesians tells us to do so. We really are pretty mean about it, usually. And so Ephesians 4 says, do it in a way that's going to build them up. Don't break them down. Matthew 5 goes on, verse 43. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, we have people that we get sick and tired of because they are continually doing things that are wrong and they're living in sin. But we're commanded to even love our enemies. So what does that mean? We still need to love the people that are sinning against us. And it's not the person that we're supposed to hate, but it's the sin that we're supposed to hate. We're sick and tired of what the person is doing, but we're commanded not to hate the person. So we'll talk about Saul. Acts 9, verses 1 through 19, we have the story of Saul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias had answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul got sick and tired of doing wrong. He got sick and tired of persecuting his disciples. And so, what did he do? Well, verse 22. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. You know, Saul changed his ways because he was sick and tired of living in sin. That's something that we need to do. We don't need to just avoid sin because we do sin. We need to be sick and tired of living in sin. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, flee evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The Bible, and God is telling us to flee evil desires, be sick and tired of it. Pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace. And finally, we have Paul. Philippians chapter 1, verses 18. You know, Paul had gone through a lot. So Philippians chapter 1, 18, we'll start in the second part of the verse there. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul is sick and tired of being on earth. He's done. He wants to go and be with Christ in heaven. And you can't blame him. If you look at 2 Corinthians 11, we see just a couple things that Paul has gone through. Chapter 11. Now I'm going to start in the middle of 23. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews, and 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at the city. Paul's gone through a lot. But what is his attitude? Paul's attitude is that he will remain for his brethren. You know, we often have a right to be sick and tired. And I hear a lot, you know, oh, that's my right. This is my right. Especially in politics these days, we talk about what our rights are. Now, sometimes you have a right to do something, and it's not the best time to exercise that right. You know, Paul was sick and tired of being on earth, and he probably could have asked God to go. And God probably would have answered him. But he chose not to exercise that. He chose to stay with the people, be sick and tired of life, but to endure. And so, whether we should be sick and tired, or whether we shouldn't be sick and tired, there's a verse that I like to read. And it's Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, how often do we focus on the bad things? How often are we saying, oh, this is terrible, I'm sick and tired of this? In reality, we have a lot of good things, and we are commanded to focus on these things. And one last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2. verses 10 through 13. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You know, maybe you're sick and tired of sin. Maybe your life is hard. Maybe you're sick and tired of living away from God. Maybe you've never come to God. But we learned here that we need to endure. And one thing that we can take comfort in verse 13, is that God will remain faithful to us. God will never become sick and tired of us. And so maybe you're sick and tired. Maybe you need help. So if you need help, please come.